Vandeham Shigro Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shigro Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vikantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadudam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Zidamscha Hey Krishna Karya Sindhu Dinabandha Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namo Sute Jakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishuvani Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakapa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Padivanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Maha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shedvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter 23 Maharaj Prithu is going back home, text number 26 Sa Esha Nunam Rajati Urvam Anu Vanyam Patim Sati Paishita Asman Atitya Archi Durbi Vanyena Parmana Shaisha Nunam Rajat Yurvam Anuvanyam Patim Siti Vashat Tasman Ati Yarchi Durvi Bhavyena Karmana Shaisha Nunam Rajat Yurvam Anuvanyam Patim Siti Vasha Tasmanati Yarchi Dorbi Bhavyena Karmana Thank you. Durvivadena Karmana Sa Shi Esha This Nunam Certainly Rajati Going Urdvam Upward Anu Following Vanyam The Son of Dana Patim Husband Siti Takes Aishata Jasi Asman Hus Aititya Overpassing Archie of the name Archie Dorvibhavyena by inconceivable Parmana activity. Translation for book by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami to the Prabhupada. The wives of the demigods continue. Just see how this chaste lady Archie, by dint of her inconceivable pious activities, is still following her husband upward as far as we can see. Please repeat, the wives of the demigods continue.
The wives of the demigods continue.
Just see
how this chaste lady,
Archie, by dint of her inconceivable pious activity,
is still following her husband upward,
as far as we can see. Purport, both Prithu Maharaj's airplane and the airplane carrying Queen Archie were passing out of the vision of the ladies of the higher planetary systems. The ladies were simply astonished to see how Prithu Maharaj and his wife achieved such an exalted position. Although they were wives of the denizens of the higher planetary system, and Prithu Maharaj was an inhabitant of an inferior planetary system, the Earth, the king, along with his wife, passed beyond the realms of the demigods and went upward to Vaikuntha Loka. The word urdhvam, upward, is significant here. The ladies speaking were from the higher planetary systems, which include the moon, sun, and Venus, up to Brahmaloka, or the highest planet. Beyond Brahmaloka is the spiritual world, and in that spiritual sky, there are innumerable Vaikuntha Lokas. Thus the word urdhvam, indicates that the Vaikuntha planets are beyond or above these material planets. It was to these Vaikuntha planets that Prithu Maharaj and his wife were going. This also indicates that when Prithu Maharaj and his wife Archie abandoned their material bodies in the material fire, they immediately developed their spiritual bodies and entered into spiritual airplanes, which could penetrate the material elements and reach the spiritual sky. Since they were carried by two separate airplanes, it may be concluded that even after being burned in the funeral pyre, they remained separate, individual persons. In other words, they never lost their identity or became void, as imagined by the impersonal. The ladies in the higher planetary systems were capable of seeing both downward and upward. When they looked down, they could see that the body of Prithu Maharaj was being burnt and that his wife Archie was entering into the fire. And when they looked upward, they could see how they were being carried in two airplanes to the Vaikuntha Lokas. All this is possible simply by Durvibhavyena Karmana, inconceivable activity. Prithu Maharaj was a pure devotee, and his wife Queen Archie simply followed her husband. Thus they can both be considered pure devotees. And thus they were capable of performing inconceivable activities.
Such activities are not possible for ordinary men. Indeed, ordinary men cannot even take to the devotional service of the Lord, nor can ordinary women maintain such vows of chastity and follow their husbands in all respects. A woman does not need to attain higher qualifications, but if she simply follows in the footsteps of her husband, who must be a devotee, then both husband and wife obtain liberation and are promoted to the Vaikuntha Lokas. This is evidenced by the inconceivable activities of Maharaj Prithu and his wife. The verse again. Shaishanunam rajat yodvam anuvanyam patim sati hashitasmanati yarchi dorvibhavyena karmana. The wives of the demigods continue, just see how this chaste lady Archie, by dint of her inconceivable pious activities, is still following her husband upward as far as we can see. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasad Vidhaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Dhanamane Namaste Sarasvam Deva Korvani Vidhaya Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pastanyaya. Here we find that Maharaj Prithu and Queen Archie, they're going back to the spiritual world, which is the perfection of all existence. How they obtain that desired goal, of course, is by becoming fixed in the pure devotional service of Krishna. Actually, everyone has the same goal. Namely, everyone wants to know how to become as happy as possible for as long as possible. And everyone has a different idea how that's going to be achieved. The Lord Maharaj says, Vatimna Krishne Paratatsatova Mito Vipadyeta Griha Ratanam Adanta Govir Vishitam Tanizram Punat Punas Charvita Charvanana. People don't know that actually they should put their consciousness in Krishna. And because they don't know that, because they haven't understood what is the actual methodology of becoming permanently happy, therefore they're trying so many different ways to reach that same happiness. Whether it's by an individual study of books or philosophy, or by a joint endeavor to do something in the material world, or by a combination of both. But the problem is the griha vrata. The problem is the material concept of life. That griha means house. So the first house everyone lives in is the material body. And the material conception of life, if I have a strong, healthy, attractive body, then I can become happy. And if that's achieved, then I need a nice family, I need a nice society, I need a nice country, I need that everyone is happy, all human beings are happy, and we can keep on expanding that conception, but because it's all based on the Bali concept of life, therefore, there's no end to the attempt to become happy, because it'll never be achieved. Dharashaya. Nityadu swarthikati hi Vishnu Dharashaya ye bahya arthamanina. Because there are so many false shelters that we're thinking will make us happy, and happiness means either give us some comfortable position in the world or protect us from the different miseries. But, in spite of all these attempts, nothing is actually achieved. Adanta govir vishitam tamizram. Because the senses and the mind are telling us, you need this, you need that, you need this material asset, you need this position, you need this fame, you need this, so many different things you need, and then when you get it all together, you'll be happy. But there's no end. Adanta Gobir, Vishakam Tamizram. Punakunascharvanana. It'll be the same thing over and over again. Whether one becomes the Lord Brahma or one becomes the queen of the ants, the same desire will be there. I need this shelter, and then I'll become actually happy. And on the basis of trying to achieve that shelter, we acquire so many things that we want. And we're opposed to so many things, shochiti, kamchiti, and on that basis, there's so many relationships that we form, so-called friendship, so-called enemies, all fighting to get some material shelter. And when someone's offering me some shelter that I think will help me, then they become my friend. If someone is taking my shelter away, they become my enemy, and my whole life revolves simply in trying to grab one shelter after another and lamenting of all the shelters I'm losing. And then there's no possibility of finding the real shelter. Nasti buddhiya yuktasya, nata yuktasya bhavanaha, nata bhavanaha shantir, ashantasya kutaksukha. That for one who's not in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, they can have neither a controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Therefore, we have to reach the conclusion, ultimately, as Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasineha Sharna Pitaro Nishenha. We may have very nice parents, the child may have very nice parents, and they may try to protect the child. That's certainly a fortunate child. But in spite of all the attempts of parents to protect the child, he may die anyhow. And even if he grows up and he lives into a very old age, still eventually he's going to die, even if his mother is wishing him to live forever. And Nartasya Chagadam, one may have a very nice medicine and a very nice doctor, and they may try in so many different ways to protect the patient. And they may succeed, or they may not succeed. But even if they succeed in protecting the patient, still eventually we're going to die anyhow. This is really not meant to be a depressing class. It's just reality. Udadati majitao now. And even we may have a perfect boat, and it may be proclaimed to be unsinkable like the Titanic, but still it may sink anyhow. And even if it doesn't sink, then eventually we're going to drown in the ocean of material existence and die. Therefore, tat pravritir ihanja shestas, unless Krishna protects us, there is no protection. And even if Krishna wills that for some time we'll be materially protected, ultimately we have to leave this body, either to go to the spiritual world or to some other place in the material world. Therefore, Krishna is offering real protection, and Krishna's devotees are offering real protection. And here we find the example of Archie and Maharaj Prithu showing us a real example. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Idasatve pravridade tu pralayam yatide habrit tadotamam vidanam lokat amalam pratipadyate. Even we become very sattvic, which is part of our process, of course. We're supposed to become very sattvic. But even we become very sattvic, Idasatve pravridade tu. Even we achieve that, we strive for it, become clean and truthful and austere and religious, etc. Idasate Purude tu pralaya, at the time of death, Yati Deha Brit, the invited soul will go somewhere. Tadotamam vidam lokam. He may go to the planets where many pious people are living. Amalam, pure personalities, relatively pure in the material world, but still one has to come back to the material world. Rajasi pralayam gatva, karma sangishu dehinam, tatat, pralinas tasma si muda yonashi jayate. And what to speak, working hard just to maintain our house, whether it's our physical body, or our material house, or our material family, and this and that and everything, and we want to get our fame and prestige for being a good maintainer of our family. We continue the dynasty on. Now I'm over 60 years old, and still my mother, I went home, she said, when are you going to get married? My mother's 93 or something, still young. She still thinks she's like 25 or something. So even one becomes, works very hard and gets, satisfies all the relatives. Yes, the dynasty goes on. Everyone should be happy. You know, there's lawyers in the family and doctors, you know. When they put it, you know, the tombstone down on the ground, you know, he was a lawyer and everyone can say, oh, right. He did. He died in a good way. And what is the muda yonashi jayate, when works in the mode of ignorance, then he goes down to the animal species of life. In any case, urdvam gacchati sattvasta madhya tishyati rajasa jaganya guna vrittista ajo gacchati tamasa. As long as we're in the material concept of life, either getting free from these attachments, one may gain some knowledge, that I'm looking around in the material world, so many attachments, so much hatred, so many friends, trying to take, helping me achieve what I want to achieve in the material world, so many enemies, they're preventing me from getting what I want. He's my enemy, and I killed him. The others will all be killed, sooner or later. He's my, you know, so much is mine, and I'll gain more. And more, and more, and it goes on and on. So one may be absorbed in the mentality so much that one is not even aware of that mentality. It just seems completely normal. This is me, it's my personality. It's the way I feel, it's the way I do things. And if you don't like it, well, you know where you can go. You don't love me, you don't appreciate me. Therefore, what do I have to do with you? Goodbye. Get lost. No, this is what's binding us in the material world. This is our prison. All these ideas, I need this and I need that, and then I'll get my gold and achieve what I want. I'll go to the heavenly planets, or as Purnachandamara said, I'll go to the heavenly planet, I'll perform some sacrifice. Yakshe desyami modi shaityagana vimoritaha. And there I'll be in the Nanda Kandana forest and I'll kiss the apsaras there. I'll find real love. So as long as we have so many different goals, then along with that we'll have so many different attachments, so many different aversions, and the real goal of life will be completely missed. Brahma Buddha Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakamshiti Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhbhakti Mavate Param. Prahlad Maharaj said, really we have no enemy in this world. Even these people who are taking our money, who are taking our prestige, who are threatening our material body, because that's not very nice. But all these different personalities who are seemingly inimical towards us, they're not our ultimate enemy. Our ultimate enemy is our uncontrolled mind. when Amrish Maharaj was threatened by Durvasa Muni physically by the fiery weapon he had created in order to kill him, to chastise him. Amrish Maharaj took it as an opportunity to focus his mind completely on Krishna, and the result was he was so much absorbed in ecstasy that tears of ecstasy were flowing from his eyes when the fiery demon was coming to kill him. Because he took shelter of Krishna, therefore he became a great asset. Vipadam chantitak shasva tatra tatra jagat dro bhavata bhavatis nasya apuna bhavadarshina. Queen Kunti's praying for problems. Why? Because when there's problems, our four shelters are taken away. They had a kingdom, it was taken away. They had prestige, it was taken away. Their wife was insulted. Everything was back, was taken from them. And the only shelter they had was Krishna. And because they had Krishna, they were in ecstasy. So what was she afraid of? Vishanghagne Purushada Darshana. Was she afraid of being fed poison again, or being thrown into a house made out of black, and put on the house put on fire? Was she afraid of being set into a forest where there are man-eaters? No, what she was really fearful of, Janmaishvara Shute Shrivir, Edamana Madatuman, Nailahatya Vidatumbai, Vama Kinchana Gochara. She was afraid of developing this mentality that I need so many things. I don't have enough prestige. I don't have the right position in this material world to be happy. I don't have enough wealth. I don't have enough influence. I don't have enough bodily beauty. I don't have enough material education. I don't have enough in order to get my goal of happiness in the material world. I need more and more and more. So she says that actually we're intoxicated. We're intoxicated by this false conception of material existence, by this false identification with this body, which we love so much, which is just a virtual reality. It is just an idea, well, it's a five-star movie that we're watching, where we're the hero and the heroine in some kind of drama created by the material nature, in which we're rooting for the hero, our heroine, namely our body. When there's success, we feel good, oh, they're loving my body, everything's great. And there's failure, oh, what a lamentable scene in the movie. Let me cry, oh, poor hero, don't worry, I love you anyhow. In good times or in bad times, this body is always the hero. And there are certain demons who don't believe that, and there are certain devotees who do. But we're for the devotees, and we're against the demons. Eventually the demons will be annihilated, and the devotees will be protected. Some kind of drama we think is going on, but it's just an imagination. And we're intoxicated by it. We're so absorbed in the drama, we've forgotten who we are. And then if we want more of the drama, we want to increase the drama, we want more better position, more material education, more bodily beauty, more wealth, more, then we become crazy, completely mad, insane. No, one can talk to such an insane person. They're convinced, they know what the goal of life is, and they're going to achieve it. They're like the flies. You can talk to the fly. He sees the fire. He's going for it. No matter how much you chant Hare Krishna to the fly, preach to it, quote Bhagavad Gita, he's going for the fire. So anyone who's intoxicated by this idea that he's the body, and then on top of that, has taken a goal, which is not in Krishna consciousness, all you can expect is they're going to become mad. Therefore, Queen Arshi, she had the right goal because she had the right person to follow. Naishamatistavadurukramangri, Sprisha inarto bhagavan inarto, Mahiyasham paravrujevichekam, Niskinshananam nabrinityadva. So we have to, if we want to have a success in this life, to get out of our miseries, we have to choose a real shelter. Or we have to choose the shelters that Krishna is giving us. Whether the holy name, or the deities, or the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and above that, those devotees who are exemplifying, taking shelter of those shelters. We have to see those shelters, and we have to see those who are taking shelter of those shelters, and we have to take shelter of them. So we need real shelter. Niskinshanana, who don't believe that these other things are really shelters. My body is my shelter, my family is my shelter, my society is a shelter, my bank balance is a shelter. Only Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the holy name, the service of the devotees, worship of the deities, and preaching, making the world spiritual, making our home spiritual. These are the real shelters in life. Mahajana Yena Kata Sapanta. And when we follow those shelters, those Mahajans, then we'll actually get the goal of life. But if Tarko Apratishtam Shudyo Vivina Nasavri Sharyasyana Vivinam, that Dharmasita Dvamni Tampukayam Mahajana Yena Kata Sapanta. Yes, we may argue in so many different ways, what is the shelter, how to achieve it. We may study the scriptures. We may follow the rishis. We may do so many different things. But who is actually taking shelter of the real shelters? That we have to look for. And when we find such persons, then we have to take shelter, at least of their example, and appreciate it. Therefore, it is said, Krishna diyasi giritam manase priyeta dikshasti chatranati vishtabhajantam isham shushushaya chabhajanam ananya anya nindati shunyam ridaya uksita sangalabhya. That if one is chanting the holy name, they're taking shelter, or the real shelter, and we should appreciate that. And we should respect them. That's how we take shelter of them. Even if they're not following very strictly, still in our heart we have to appreciate that here is Krishna's servant. Some or another, by good fortune, they've taken that much shelter of Krishna, and I should appreciate them for doing that. That way I'll take shelter of Krishna in the same way. And if someone is initiated, worshiping the deities, worshiping the holy name, following the principles strictly, then I must cooperate with them to give other people the shelter of Krishna's holy name, of the process given to us by our previous acharyas. And if one is seen to be very strictly following all the regular principles, chanting the prescribed number of rounds every day, and always thinking how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement, that I should take their example and their instructions and try to follow their footsteps and do the same thing. Then what is the result? What will be our shelter? The shelter will be that we'll realize that there is no difference between Krishna and his name. That, of course, cannot come all at once. Therefore, it said, Adal Shada, at first there's something, that there's something in the Hare Krishna movement. I can't put my finger on it, but it's good. It may not be the devotees. It may not be, at least it's the prasadam. There's something good here. So let me associate with the devotees, at least find their recipes or something. Then we hear about Krishna, how in Goloka Vrindavan, There are sweet balls that taste good forever. Now I gotta go there. Prabhupada even said that. I want to go to Goloka Vrindavan and find out what Krishna has in his lunch pail. So that's not bad. Good idea. Just like that thief, he heard that this was little boy in Vrindavan, his body just covered with ornaments. So he said, I must go there and steal those ornaments. So he's so anxious, where are those jewels? Let me go there and find this boy and steal whatever I can from him. So Krishna said, oh, he wants to find me, what can I do? Okay. So Krishna appeared, yes, what can I do? Ah, ornaments. Little boy, come here. Starts stealing all the ornaments. So after some time, this boy is so beautiful, he's so kind, he's so sweet. So he said, oh, I don't need these ornaments. So Krishna said, what are you doing? He said, well, here, take back the ornaments. I don't need them. No, 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 here, take the ornaments. So, associating with the devotees, we hear the glories of Krishna. That is the most significant thing in this world. Everyone is glorifying something, some other shelter. But for the devotees who are glorifying, Krishna is the only shelter. Mame kama sharanam braja. Krishna says that. Masucha, don't worry. Take shelter in me, and all the other shelters will be actually giving you real shelter. You'll see that all these other false shelters become real because they're also my, they're also me. If you remember me, if you see everything in relation to me, if you see everyone in relation to me, then they become a shelter in that sense. Sarabhuta samatmanam, sarabhuta nichatmani, ikshate yogam yuktatma, sarvatra samadharshanaha. That the true yogi observes me in all beings and sees everything in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same supreme person, everywhere. So if everyone, everything reminds me of Krishna, then they become my shelter. But Krishna says, don't worry, if you take shelter in me, all shelters will be automatically achieved. If you water the root of the tree, then ultimately all the water goes to the leaves and branches. So don't worry. Masuchaha. Put up your hands and chant Hare Krishna, and don't worry. And the result is, you'll be able to feel my presence, because you won't be worried about all the other presences, all the other things that you're thinking about, that you're worried about, that you're hankering for or lamenting about. You'll only have me in your mind, and then you'll have the real shelter, the bliss of the holy name. Therefore, we have to practice in the association of devotees, hearing the philosophy and becoming gradually convinced that there is a Krishna, and he's supremely nice, and everything about him is nice, and especially his holy name has come in this world in this age to give us the supreme shelter. It may not give us wealth or prestige. It may not change our position. It may not do anything. It may do exactly the opposite. We take shelter of the holy name, and suddenly we have nothing but the holy name. And all we can do is go to Krishna and complain. I thought you were my friend. You keep on smiling, but what is that smile about? What is really in your mind anyhow? But by that time, we'll be so blissful, we won't really care. So we take shelter of the process that Prabhupada has given us, hear about Krishna's glories, and then gradually become convinced that all this other glorification going on about how to achieve this and how to achieve that, it's just a dream. It's a nightmare. And the only way of waking up from this nightmare is to take shelter of the holy name and take shelter of the process by which we can take shelter of the holy name. Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya Uchite. So it is not that we have to give up anything. Prabhupada would always emphasize, we gave up the most important thing, Krishna. So when we gave up Krishna, the only thing we ever had, actually we gave up everything we ever had. And now we're just falsely thinking we have so many different things. So now we have to simply desire, give back the stolen goods. Utilize whatever we have. Prabhupada said, if you're a Brahmin, then try to prove Krishna's existence. Don't decry, if you're a scientist or a Brahmin who has some knowledge, don't decry Krishna, trying to put him in the background as being less important. If you're a Kshatriya, like Arjuna, then try to fight for Krishna's cause. And if you're a Vaishya, then try to utilize whatever assets you have, utilize them in the Sankirtan movement to spread the holy name. But after all, Prabhupada said, the most important thing is to hear and chant about Krishna. Develop that taste, the hearing and chanting about Krishna. But in the absence of such a pure taste, simply dovetail whatever we have, try to use that for Krishna, and the result is that taste will be gradually developed, and one day there'll only be taste, kataruchi. Everything will be seen as being part of Krishna, everything will be tasteful, our lives will become blissful, and we'll be able to effectively give that happiness and bliss and that knowledge to others. So, thank you very much. Any questions? Comments? Any comments?
What are the reasons that someone tries to always and fully, or at least progressively, take shelter in the right way, is not successful in doing so? And even sometimes have serious setbacks, spiritually.
What was that?
A devotee might try to always or fully take shelter in the right way, but if he is not successful in this, or even if he has serious setbacks, what could be the reasons for that?
The reason is that we're not serious enough, we don't have enough practice, and we're attached to so many material objects. So therefore Krishna says, because Arjuna asks the same question, my mind is so flickering, even I try to fix it on you, or in devotional service, still it goes away, just like the wind. So Krishna was sympathetic. He said, yes, that asam shaya mahavaho, no dir nigraham shalam, abhyasena shakuntiya vairagyena kriyate. It is undoubtedly very difficult to curb this restless mind. But it's possible, Arjuna, by suitable practice and by detachment. So we have to practice. Not that we can become discouraged, oh, my mind went away. But to speak of our minds, our soul has gone away. Our body has gone away. We've gone away for so long. So it goes away for a few moments, a few, whatever it goes away. Then bring it back. Shinai, shinaro, paramat, buddhya, grita, drihitaya, atma, sanstamana, kripa, wherever the mind wanders, gradually, step by step, with full conviction, once you become situated in trance by means of intelligence, sustained by full conviction, and as the mind should think of the self alone and should think of nothing else. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and steady nature, one should draw it back and bring it under the control of the self. So we should not lament, the mind goes away, we did something wrong. We should bring it back to Krishna again. This lamentation is not good, especially if it's too long. We should lament, like Vrishnavara lamented, putting the snake around Shringi, Samika Muni. So we should lament a little while so we don't do it again, but then we should bring it back to Krishna again. and bring it back, find out what we did wrong. If we did something wrong, there's a reason for it. So we should investigate what I did wrong and how I should not do it again. So instead of wasting our energy lamenting, we should utilize our energy to find out the root cause of my problem and then eliminate it. And if we can't do that, then just chant the holy name and fix the mind upon Krishna, and Krishna will reveal everything. The Dhani Buddhi Yogam Dham. He'll give us the intelligence by which all progress will be made and all our problems will be solved. But this hankering for some happiness in the material world produces so many different unwanted activities and desires. And the result is always lamentation. So if I'm in the state of hankering, it's not good. And if I'm in the state of lamentation, it's not good either. So forget about both of them. Simply find out what I should be doing to please Krishna. Do that. Come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. And then all the hankering lamentation will vanish. Just like in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, when there were so many, when the Yakshas were throwing an ocean to inundate him. They were sending Rakshasis and Rakshasas with spears and tridents to kill him. They were throwing from the sky lances and boulders and different kinds of weapons to destroy him. And then when he chanted the holy name, all these things went away. And he was established again in his original position. So it's good to find out what we did wrong, so we don't do it again. And it's even better to take shelter of the holy name. And then Krishna will help us understand everything clearly, so that we become perfectly fixed in Krishna consciousness and undisturbed by attachment and aversion.
I was thinking when you were making the point that indulgence in sense enjoyment only leads to misery, which is one of our standard lines of preaching. But it's easy, or isn't it easy, for those who have and those who have enough and more to enjoy than others to preach this to those who don't have? Because we also know by our own experience that unless we did get the opportunity to have, and so to speak, get some lust or some greed out of our system, that the process is not always that we become more and more greedy, but we become more and more disillusioned with having and with enjoying. So isn't it fair? Isn't it unfair to expect of those who haven't had that opportunity? Like, for example, in India, a lot of people join ISKCON because, you know, it's a better life, it's a small enjoyment. Whereas in the West, to join ISKCON, it's a stepping down from in terms of enjoyment. So could you please elaborate on that?
Yeah, therefore there is a process, a gradual process of, there is different orders, there is the brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. And it's supposed to be a systematic process by which we can gradually become detached from sense gratification. Therefore, we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita that there was one thief. He came and tried to steal everything he could from Bodhinityananda, at least he was planning to do so. Eventually, all his attempts were a failure, and he fell into the house of Lord Nityananda with his associates, asking for forgiveness and for his sinful life. And Lord Nityananda gave him full mercy and embraced him. He became ecstatic. He became a pure devotee of Lord Krishna and the Panchatattva. And then, the rest of his life, he went and preached to all the thieves that they should also chant Hare Krishna, because he was a recognized thief, renowned thief, and therefore they took him seriously. If this thief could become a pure devotee and he was the top thief, then we should become pure devotees too. That's what normal thieves do. So that's the point, that if one is, just like we have Pundarik Vidyaniti, a wealthy personality, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, it's not that everyone was a poverty-stricken beggar. So he also showed the example of how to utilize things in Krishna service, and at the same time becoming Krishna conscious. So it's not, stane sita shuddhi gatam dhanuvatmanobhya, remain in whatever position, but at the same time, hear and chant about Krishna, and utilize whatever assets you have in Krishna service. Ye priyasa vikandito kaitsprilokya. And this way you'll conquer Krishna, Krishna will reveal himself to you, and you'll be a blissful billionaire. He's still the one who's trying to become a trillionaire. And that way you'll set the proper example for all other billionaires. Or if you're a poverty-stricken beggar in the street, you'll also become a blissful beggar, and all the other beggars will become pure devotees like you. So remain in position, but utilize whatever we have and glorify Krishna with one's body, mind, and words. So, thank you very much. Grandhari Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namah Shivaya.